Today's word can be found in the book of Micah. That's toward the back of your Old Testament, page 863. We're going to be reading from Micah chapter 2, verses 6 to 13. Please listen for the word of God. Do not preach, thus they preach. One should not preach of such things. Disgrace will not overtake us. Should this be said, O house of Jacob? Is the Lord's patience exhausted? Are these things his doing? Do not my words do good to one who walks uprightly? But you rise up against my people as an enemy. You strip the robe from the peaceful, from those who pass by trustingly with no thought of war. The women of my people you drive out from their pleasant houses. From their young children you take away my glory forever. Arise and go, for this is no place to rest, because of uncleanliness that destroys with a grievous destruction. If someone were to go about uttering empty falsehoods, saying, I will preach to you of wine and strong drink, such a one would be the preacher for this people. I will surely gather all of you, O Jacob. I will gather the survivors of Israel. I will set them together like sheep in a fold. Like a flock in its pasture, it will resound with people. The one who breaks out will go up before them. They will break through and pass the gate, going out by it. Their king will pass on before them, the Lord at its head. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Would you pray with me this morning? Thank you, O Lord, for the opportunity that you have set before us to gather, to worship. Thank you for our baptism, God. Through the water of baptism, we are set apart as your family, as your people, and we are reminded of that this morning, God. Help us to live differently. Help us to live for you, to make you first in our hearts and lives, God. And we ask that you would guide us and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen. So there are basically two types of people in the world. There are pastors and there are prophets. And we need both. And at times we need to be both. Pastors, they're the ones who will say things like, that was a great try. I'm sure you're going to do better next time. And prophets will say, that was an epic fail. What were you thinking? Pastors will say, what I hear you saying is you're not really satisfied with your job. Prophets will say, you're lucky you have a job. Now get out there and stop whining and get to work. Pastors will say, you know, I'm not sure that was the best decision. Prophets say, are you crazy? That was the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Pastors and prophets, it's two types of people, and we need them both. Sometimes we need the person who will listen and understand and empathize, who has that compassionate tenderness about them. But other times we simply need a swift kick to get us moving. Sometimes we need somebody who will just simply speak the truth directly into our hearts and into our lives. We need prophets. Now, most of us, admittedly, me included, would prefer a pastor. But many of us really need a prophet. Life has been too easy. We've been given a lot of half-truths and attaboys and good job, even when we haven't deserved it. We've been held to a very low standard of accountability. Consequences, even when threatened, are rarely followed through on. Everybody ends up getting at least a B, if not higher. We live in a world of pastors, and sometimes what we really need is a prophet. You know, I think one of the reasons God made it so that there were two parents is so that one could be the pastor and the other one the prophet. Because we really do need both. In the home I grew up in, Dad was the prophet and Mom was the pastor. Wait till your father gets home, was a oft-repeated phrase by the pastor in the family. You know, my dad would call a spade. He told it like it was, even when I didn't want to hear it. And I didn't appreciate his toughness for most of my growing up. But now, as I look back, I'm grateful for the prophet role that he played in my life, as I am so deeply for that pastoral role that Mom played. How about you, growing up? Who was the prophet and who was the pastor? Sometimes Mom can be the prophet. I like those prophetic moms. They're tough. Now, if my children were here, you'd have to ask them about our household and who played which role. And as I think about it, probably there was a mixture. There were times when the pastor was the prophet at home, and times when the pastor's wife was the pastor, but more so she was usually the prophet. And sometimes she was the prophet to the pastor, which we won't go there. We need both. And yet, so often, we are so, avoidance of the prophets. You know, the last 12 books of the Old Testament are called the books of the minor prophets. And I will confess to you, they are the books I spend the least amount of my own time in. I rarely preach from them. I don't use them as devotions. I kind of avoid them, and maybe it's because I don't really like that tone, that role. But I thought it would be helpful to take a little bit of time and invest ourselves in at least one of these books. And so I thought, let's look at the book of Micah. It's kind of right there in the middle of those 12. And a book that just is worthy of spending at least a few weeks this summer and hearing a prophetic voice, a voice of judgment, a voice of discipline, a voice of accountability, a tough voice, a harsh voice that has another side to it as well. So Micah lived at an extraordinarily dynamic and critical time in the history of the people of Israel. He was from a small town just outside of Jerusalem, which was in the southern part of Israel, which had split into two separate countries, the northern country of Israel with its own separate capital in the town of Samaria, and the southern country of Judah with its capital in Jerusalem. And for a couple of hundred years, they had lived in this uneasy relationship, sometimes with civil war with each other, with their two competing kings fighting against each other, God's people divided. Other times they lived as somewhat of allies. And Micah was born at the time just as the northern kingdom was under threat from a new invading power of the Assyrian people. And he was predicting the downfall of that northern kingdom, and he was calling to accountability the leaders of the southern kingdom where he lived, because he said, if you see what's going to happen to them, just wait and you see what's going to happen to us. And so his words were absolutely unmitigated and unequivocally harsh. Last week we heard a little bit from chapter 1. Lo, the Lord is coming out of his place. He'll come down and tread upon the high places of the earth, and the mountains will melt under him. The valleys will burst open like wax near a fire, like waters poured down a steep place. All of this is because of the transgression of Jacob and the sins of the house of Israel. Therefore, I will make Samaria, the capital of the north, a heap in the open country. I'll pour down her stones in the valley and uncover her foundations. All her images shall be beaten to pieces. All her wages shall be burned with fire, and all her idols I will lay to waste, says the Lord. Goes on to talk about himself. For this I will lament and wail. I'll go barefoot and naked. I'll make lamentation like a jackal and mourning like an ostrich. Make yourselves bald. Cut off your hair for your pampered children. Make yourselves as bald as the eagle, for they've all gone from you into exile. Alas for those who devise wickedness and evil deeds on their beds. When the morning dawns, they perform it because it's in their power. They covet fields and seize them, houses and take them away. They oppress the householder in the house, people in their inheritance. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I am devising against this family an evil from which you cannot remove your necks. Whew. That, my friends, is the voice of a prophet, calling it the way he sees it, calling people to accountability for their actions, not taking any prisoners. It is a profound and powerful voice, and a voice that sometimes we need to hear. You know, I think there's a real balance here that we have to strike as we are thinking, and I'm sure you are right now, about situations you're in. And do you need to hear a prophet right now or a pastor? And maybe more importantly, do you need to be a prophet or a pastor to somebody else? Finding that balance of judgment and discipline and accountability and hope and grace is one of the greatest challenges in all of life. What do you need to hear? And what do you need to speak? You know, Jesus was an amazing balance of the two. Jesus could speak the most prophetic words. He said the hardest things, even to his friends, to his most faithful and devoted disciple, Peter. He said, "Get behind me, Satan," when Peter misunderstood the nature of the gospel. To his own disciples, he said, "How long must I put up with you, O ye of little faith?" Jesus had words of prophecy. And if you think he spoke harshly to his friends, then just be reminded of what he said to his enemies. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Those you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you, you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Wow. That's Jesus taking on the mantle of the prophet, speaking words of truth to power, speaking words of accountability to friends. Sometimes we need the voice of the prophet. But then Jesus would also say this, "Come to me," as Dan said, leading into our prayer of confession. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus spoke the tenderest words, the most compassionate words, the words of a pastor when they were needed. And so, you know, one of the great challenges of those of you who are single parents is you have to be both of these voices. You have to be the prophet and the pastor. You have to come down and you also have to pick up. And discerning which of those roles to play and when and how is extraordinarily difficult. Because the truth is, we need both. We need to hear both voices in order to grow to become the people God wants us to be. The prophet Micah was first and foremost a prophet. He spoke these incredible words of conviction. He let them have it. But in the end of chapter 2, after two withering chapters of going after the leaders and the people for their unfaithfulness to God, Micah suddenly has a change of tone in the text that we heard today. He starts out this section by with a huge amount of sarcasm. And he's talking about people who are attacking him, saying, "Do not preach. One should not preach of such things. Disgrace will not overtake us. Don't tell people about this impending doom, the consequences of unfaithfulness that God is going to do. God wouldn't do that to us. Is the Lord's patience exhausted?" they're saying to him. "Are these his doings? Do not our words do good to the one who walks uprightly?" In other words, they're saying, "We're good people. We haven't really done anything wrong. God isn't going to punish us." And then Micah lets them have both barrels. "You think you're upright? You rise up against my people like an enemy. You leaders of the people, you strip off the robe of the peaceful people who are just passing by and send them out to fight on the front lines of the stupid war that you got us into that we never should have been in the first place. The women of my people, you throw them out of their own homes. The young people, you take away. They're my glory. You take away my image in them. Arise and go." And then he just throws this one on. He says, "If someone were to go about uttering empty falsehoods and preaching, 'I will preach to you of wine and strong drink,' such a one would be a preacher for this people." In other words, if you found somebody who would say, "You know what your problem is you're just not drinking enough. You're just taking life way too seriously, friend. You need just to enjoy yourself. Spend a little more time at the country club. You know, go out and pamper yourself. What you need is some wine and strong drink to kind of get you reoriented." He said, if there was a preacher out there, that's the kind of preacher you want. You don't want a prophet because you can't handle it. Wow. Micah speaking powerful truth, talking about consequences for behavior, letting people know that God is not indifferent to the choices that we make. You see, whether it's a prophetic voice or a pastoral voice, the voice has the same intent, and that is to call people back to a relationship with God, to remind them of who God is and what God expects of us. And sometimes we do that with a sledgehammer, and sometimes we do it with a feather duster, but it's the same basic purpose. You know, my parents had two completely different styles of parenting, but they were united on the common purpose that they would raise up children who were respectful to all people, who were compassionate to the people who had less, who were going to be hardworking, who would be honest in every single conversation that they had. Children who would know who God was and would honor them with how they lived their lives. My parents were absolutely united on that. Now, their way of getting us to become those kind of people were very different. But they had the common goal. And so you parents who are putting on these different hats, my question is, are you raising your children with the same common purpose, or are they getting two different messages? The pastor and the prophet had very different styles, but a common purpose, and that was to call people back to accountability before God, to remind them of who they were and what God expected of them, and that God does not stand by indifferently when it comes to sin, and that there are consequences for the choices that we make. Micah had strong words of prophecy, and then suddenly he takes off his prophetic hat and he becomes a pastor. These two verses: I will surely gather you, all of you, O Jacob. This is the Lord speaking through Micah. I will gather the survivors of Israel. After this destruction has come, and it surely did, I will gather the survivors. I will set them together like sheep in a fold, like a flock in its pasture, and it will resound. It will be filled with people. And the one who breaks out will go before them. They will break through. They'll pass through the gate, going out of it. And their king will pass on before them, the Lord at their head. The prophet has become a pastor. The prophet who has spoken these profound, deep words of judgment, convicting people of their sin and their sinfulness, reminds them that God will still come and gather them together. The ones who are faithful, God will care for them. He speaks this profound word of judgment and then the pastoral word of hope. And in so doing, I think Micah serves as a beautiful model. And so, friends, which one are you and which one will you be today? Is there somebody in your sphere of influence who needs to hear a prophetic word from you? Somebody that you see teetering on the edge of making incredibly harmful decisions? Somebody who is disrupting the life of your family so much and your patience has finally reached its end, who needs to hear some words of truth and conviction? Is there a coworker who you know has been getting away with way too much and no one's had the guts to say what's true? Or is there somebody who has been so beaten up by the conviction of this world that they need somebody to gather them together, to hear that word of hope? What do you need to hear today? What is God speaking to you? Is it the voice of a prophet, or is it the voice of the pastor? Is it judgment or hope or both? Lord, thank you so much for the incredible truth that just leaps out into our hearts and our lives through the scripture. Thank you for Micah, for his unrelenting, uncompromising word of truth. And for his beautiful and comforting words of hope. In Jesus' name, amen.